Thank you for having my husband and me here. It's great to be here. I would like to start out by reading from Matthew 6, verses 25-34. And the title of what I would like to speak to you tonight about is Laying Our Anxieties Before Christ. I trust that everybody here has anxieties at some point or another. So I hope that it's applicable to your life. Matthew 6, verses 25-34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that thou will be with us in this next 45 minutes or so, and I pray that as we talk about anxieties and laying our anxieties before Christ, that it might be beneficial to us, both in helping us deal with the things of everyday life, physical, spiritual, emotional, but also that we might be drawn closer to thee, O Lord. O Lord, be close to us, be behind us and before us, and hold our hands, and love us with the everlasting love. And help me in speaking, and help each one of these other ladies in listening. Forgive our sins and take care of us, we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. So I have to admit that I have a lot of experience in the field of worrying. Anxiety comes pretty easy to me, and sometimes the butterflies and the pit, this feeling in the pit of your stomach is a little all too familiar. I have Tums by me quite a bit. In fact, I'm such an expert at worrying that when we got married, my husband said, well, you're good at this, so I'll delegate the whole worry department over to you. But as I prepared this speech, I was really, it was good for me because my eyes were open to the wealth that's in Scripture that Scripture offers us in dealing with anxiety. So I was really encouraged, and I hope you will be too, because what else is there besides the Word of God? That's everything, isn't it? So I would first like to answer, what is anxiety? And then I would like to look at types of anxiety by saying, what is your anxiety and mine? Then I would like to spend most of the time answering, how do we deal with anxiety? So first of all, what is anxiety? I was researching, and words like cares and concerns and stress, anxiety, worry, fear, all those are defined in different ways. So I settled on defining the words according to the context of how they were used in Scripture. So every one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. God designed us with senses that we can absorb what's going on in our surroundings, and we can react to those surroundings. And why did he give us our senses? Part of it is just for survival. So, for instance, if we hear with our ears a train coming, and we see that we're standing right on the tracks, then we conclude we're in grave danger and we better experience fear and jump out of the way. Our heart races, our adrenaline rises, and we get out of the way quickly. So fear can be good if it takes us helps us to take action when danger is near. We talk about cares and concerns of life. So we can think of the health of a loved one, maybe our kids having difficulty in school, rebellious teens. There's an endless list of our cares and concerns. We love our family, we love our friends, so we're concerned naturally when we have troubles. We care about them, so their burdens become our burdens. And the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So the Bible doesn't say don't have burdens, it acknowledges burdens are real. What about stress? It's a part of all of our lives. In fact, without stress, we wouldn't get much accomplished. A healthy amount of stress is a balance to help us solve problems at work and home and school, and it motivates us to make our lives better. So all these factors in our lives, fears, cares, concerns, stresses, are all normal. But then what happens if it goes beyond normal? What if we have this train experience and then we start having so much fear that we never leave the house? That's going beyond normal. What if we worry so much about health things like cancer that we get an ulcer because of the stress going to the pit of our stomach? What if we have panic attacks? So the real question is, how am I handling all these negative events in our lives? And is it with worry? Was it with the normal concern, or is it with anxiety and worry? So anxiety, this is the definition I came up with. It's defined as distress or uneasiness of mind caused by fear of danger or misfortune. Worry is mental distress or agitation resulting from concern, usually something impending or anticipated, to fret or to have uneasiness. So the root word of the word worry comes actually from choke or strangle. And that's kind of what worry does to us. So in God's mind, according to these verses, anxiety and worry are wrong. So there's basically two ways of handling fears and concerns and stress. So the first is my way or your way, so the human way. So our way, my way, is to try to improve our situation, but then we still end up with anxiety. My way is to be worried about a lot of issues that maybe really aren't so important. My way is to spend time and energy and money to come to solutions that are logical without consulting God at all. And my way is to worry about future disasters. But here's the good news. There's a better way, and it's God's way. And in a nutshell, I would like to put it in these terms. It's simply this: pray, and then do what we can that's wise and logical and biblical to improve our situation, and then leave the rest to God. So prayer, action, release. God tells us in Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So anxiety, to keep ruminating over things, anxiety goes against God's will. It's not pleasing to him because it shows that we're not trusting him to take care of things for us. And it's basically unbelief. So when I was thinking about this and realizing this, I actually found it kind of strangely, it was convicting, but it was comforting too. It was convicting that I can just leave things over to God. And he assures us that we can turn it over to him. We obey him by trusting him. And he's not cold and uncaring, and he doesn't scold us for our ignorance and unbelief, but he invites us to cast our cares on him. He's loving. If we're believers, then he tells us with love in his heart that we can trust him to take care of him, of us in every way. So some of you might be saying in your mind to me right now, but well, that's easy for you to say, but you don't know the burdens that I have. I have some heavy, heavy burdens. And you're right, I don't know you, and I don't know your troubles. But if I did, I still might not understand, because if I haven't been through what you're going through, I don't completely understand. But it doesn't matter about me. God knows your troubles 100%, and maybe even better than you do, and he cares. Hebrews 4 talks about that he's touched with a feeling of our infirmities. Touched, I love that word. He's sympathetic. And he was tempted in every way, like we are, yet without sin. So he understands. So let's take a closer look at your anxiety. We have a friend, Jeff Thomas. Maybe some of you know Jeff Thomas. He's a minister in Wales, wonderful man. But he did some writing on anxiety. He puts the sinful anxiety into three groups. He said, first, trivialities that are little and unimportant things about life that aren't worth worrying about. I think we all have things that we do worry about. But he says, if they're little, trivial, they're not worth worrying about it, don't worry about it. Second, we should not be preoccupied with things that we have no control or influence over. So what good does it do, in other words? Third, we shouldn't waste our emotional energy by worrying about future events that God alone is in control of. So many of us, there's different kinds of worries, and I think each of us gravitate towards different kinds of worries. Some of us have anxiety related to health and safety. I think that's most of my worries. I worry about our kids and now our grandkids getting in accidents and getting hurt or killed. And, you know, you hear these freak news stories about freak accidents, and you're sure it's going to happen to them. And, you know, they're walking on rocks or, you know, something that you think they're going to fall and crack their head open. Just every moment, like, when I was younger, I was very adventurous. In fact, my dad told my husband when we got married that I gave him gray hair because of all my adventures. I loved to bike and went on all these biking trips, and my dad worried. And yet I worried about my kids inordinately. So I don't quite understand that. But anyway, so if even though we think, okay, even though God has blessed us with safety in the past, you never know what terrible tragedy is going to happen in the future, and it might be today, you know. So things like my mother had breast cancer when she was in her early 70s, and she's 87 now. If she gets a pain or something unusual, she thinks the cancer has returned. But she's balanced. Like, she tries to keep her worry in check. Because my grandmother, her mother, was just a real worrier, and she worried so much that it was a burden on all the family members. In fact, she was brought up, my grandma was brought up to think that worry is a way to show love. So when my uncle, her son, got divorced, she said, and he was living alone, she says, well, if I don't worry about Bill, then who will? So that was her way of showing love, to worry. Maybe you're worried about provision for your family for the future. So what if you'd lose your job, or your husband would? So even if you have money now, you know, what if that money's taken away? Or what if you're a young mom and you have another child? Will you be able to afford that child? Or maybe you fret about little things like what to wear, or will I fit in with my peers, or will I look good? So all these personal things. Maybe you're worried about the world around us. If you have children or grandchildren, you think, and this is a real worry, the entertainment world and human trafficking and drug abuse and, you know, fentanyl, all this fentanyl coming over our border. Some of it looks like candy. You know, the worries that we have are real, but we can turn those worries over to God. Some of us might have relationship worries. You might have worried about your husband or your children, or, you know, emotional worries. Maybe a family member has anger problems or depression, or they're doing poorly in school. There's just a million things we can all have anxiety about. And we each have our own worries. I mentioned earlier, my husband turned the whole worry department over to me, but I did notice that there were certain things, like when church things would be happening, he worries. So I might have my, like, home worries, but he has church and work worries. And so none of us, I think, is immune to anxiety. So anxiety happens. How do we deal with it? I'd like to walk through a few situations and see how we can deal with them God's way instead of our way. So remember, we said that God's way to deal with life's difficulties is first to pray, and then to do what's biblical and sensible to improve our situation, and then leave the rest in God's hands. So prayer, action, release. So if we can follow this and we can rest in God's power and grace, then we will have much more peace. Sometimes we find that peace, but then an hour later, then we sort of invite the worries back in our hearts again. But then we just go through that same process again. And God says, I understand all things. We think of these verses, before you call, I will answer. I find that very comforting. He tells us, my grace is sufficient for you. So keep praying, keep finding scriptural verses that speak to your heart, and keep turning it over to the Lord. And hopefully, when we do this over and over again, hopefully our faith gets stronger as we go through this process. And we also have to acknowledge that there can be a positive side effect to anxiety, and that is that it keeps us close to God. We need God so much that we're just living close to Him. And even though the circumstances might be negative, there's a certain sweetness in that. And there's that verse that says, no affliction for the moment seemed joyous but grievous, but afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So when we look back on hard times, when we were praying our hearts out and we were close to the Lord, there's a certain sweetness in that we were very close to Him, walking hand in hand with Him. So just as our experiences of communing with God draws closer to Him, so His word becomes more deeply ingrained into our hearts and minds. And we can say, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So just by searching the scriptures and coming up with these nuggets of truth that maybe we've read them 10 times before or 20 times before, but when we really need them, they just really, really help us, and they become very precious to us. So search the scriptures and find those verses that strengthen your heart. You can write them on a card and put them where you'll see them often. Memorize them so that they're readily accessible. That way you can recall them in moments of weakness. Remember in Ephesians, the text about Ephesians 6 about the armor of God, God's word is the sword of the Spirit. So it's a tool, it's a weapon that we can use to fight off Satan. And Satan wants us to falter, he wants us to fall, he wants us to have depression and weakness and anxiety, but we can use the word that's the sword of the Spirit to fight him off, and we can use it to glorify God and to find strength for our souls. So, but before I go on, there's one situation in life that should cause us much fear and anxiety, and for loved ones of ours, and that is if we're not saved. So if anyone who's lost should feel this very, very big sense of urgency and worry and anxiety, they if they live without worries, then they're not realizing that they're careening through life and heading for eternal fire of hell, and they need to be shaken up. They need the warning of a friend or a close confidant that tells them that the difficult circumstances in life should strike fear in their hearts, and they need to deal with this fear in God's way by crying out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And thankfully, we do have a merciful God who promises to hear. And he says to us, and we need to follow this, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. It's only God's work, but he's pleased to work his grace in our hearts. The Holy Spirit works in us, causing us to repent and leave our sins at the foot of the cross and trusting him to pay our debt. And then we carry on believing in him and being filled with joy and relying on the power of the Spirit. So from then on, when we are saved, we can be assured that all things work together for good to those that love God. So another story in the Bible that talks about anxiety. You know the story of Mary and Martha. So both sisters were believers, but their personalities were very different. But Jesus loved both of them and their brother Lazarus. In fact, they often gathered at their house. And in one part of Scripture, it says it was Martha's house. So she was kind of a leader in that way. And she was a queen of hospitality because that's where a lot of people gathered. She was diligent, but she was intense. She took charge of things, and she spent a lot of time in the kitchen and cooking up a good meal for her guests. So she had all these positive character traits, and hospitality, of course, is a good trait. But they were also, the same traits were sort of her weakness. Because you know the story, she was working in the kitchen, stewing in there, and looking in the living room and seeing Sister Mary just sitting there, like not doing anything, not helping her while she was listening to Jesus. But she thought, well, that's not fair. And I can just feel that feeling that must have been rising up in her heart. And so she asked for Jesus' help. She asked Jesus to tell Mary to come in and help her. Well, surprise, Jesus took Mary's side and said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part, which cannot be taken away from her. So Jesus was lovingly reprimanding Martha and urging her to come enjoy the fellowship with him, and that was more important than fancy food. So Jesus appreciated Martha's cooking skills, otherwise he wouldn't come there with his disciples all the time. But he was saying it wasn't worth the stress that it caused. And I think that's a lesson for us too. So sometimes we bring unnecessary anxiety on ourselves by making very fancy food, especially for our guests. And maybe we stress out over keeping the house clean. Maybe we want beautiful furniture that's more expensive than we can afford, or we're concerned about what people think of us, so maybe even it keeps us from hospitality. And all these things can really kind of cause us anxiety and knots in our stomach. And I believe from the story of Mary and Martha that a good philosophy for running our homes is to aim for simplicity, make careful choices, but then enjoy those choices. And the focus of our life has to be on the glory of God. So earthly goods, we have to have them, but they can't take up too much space in our hearts. I think with entertaining, hospitality is something that every Christian is called to do. It's not just those with the gift of hospitality. It's something we're all called to do. And I feel, from observing people who have done this well, is finding good and tasty and simple recipes that are nutritious and that are, you know, people really enjoy, but that don't take us hours and hours and hours in the kitchen. So to handle God, our homes God's way, we have to look at our own attitudes and find areas that stress us out, and then pray to God for wisdom that we make the right decisions and good choices, and then take action to follow this guidance. And then after we do all that, release our homes to use for His honor and glory, to invite others in and show Christian hospitality. So, another kind of worry. Many Christians in this world live in poverty and have real worries, and some of us may be in that category too. We might have real founded worries about not having enough money. And some people live day to day, not sure if they're going to have enough for the future. And some people might worry about that they're going to lose their job. But God knows your situation. And if you have these concerns, I pray that you'll continue to pray as according to what David witnessed in Psalm 37, verse 25. He said, "I have been young, and now I am old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." So God promises, we might live day to day, week to week, but he promises he'll take care of his people. So we do all we can, we work diligently, we spend our money wisely, and we tithe money, even if we have just a little bit, because God commands it, and he promises to bless it. And from there, we can release our anxieties to God and trust that he'll take care of us. And we can find great comfort in the words that I opened with, Matthew 6. I think those words are just beautiful about God taking care of us. So our compassionate God says in those verses, "Take no thought," which means don't worry, "what shall we eat or what shall we drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Trust him, and he will provide." So there's another sort of anxiety on the other end of the spectrum, which is kind of a first world problem, that we have enough, we have plenty, but we always want more, that we're never satisfied. And when we take our eyes off the giver and we set our affections on the gifts that he gives us, then we can run into problems. Maybe our closet is full, but we stress out about what outfit to wear. So what do we do about that? Again, pray first, always. And then just immerse our hearts and our minds on Scripture, so that our perspective is more in balance with what Scripture says. We can give generously. When we have so much, give generously to God's kingdom. Remember the parable of the sower, where this and the seed was the one that was choked up by the thorns and the world, the cares of the world all around us. I find that very convicting. You know, we have first world problems, and we forget to focus on God's word because we have so many goods and so many worldly cares. Why not just get rid of things that weigh you down, that encumber you, and then don't buy more to replace them, of course. We pray more and release our possessions to God. I'm not a hoarder, but I have a hard time getting rid of things that are useful or sentimental. And they do clutter up my house, they clutter up my mind, they clutter up my life. I have, one of my daughters is like me, kind of, and likes to collect things that are cool. I just see beauty in so many things, rocks and leaves and, but they just become too much. And then my other daughter is very simple with her possessions. She's not simple-minded, but she's simple with her possessions, and she's good at helping me with, okay, do you need this? Does it give you joy? You know that? Do you have a place for it? That stuff. So she's good with me. I can get rid of stuff when she's around. And then I have a daughter-in-law who loves to throw things away and get rid of stuff. So We joke around, but she goes a little too far the other way for me, like anti-clutter. So, yeah. So we all have our balance. So, anyway, there's a prayer in Proverbs. It's Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. It's the prayer of Agur. And he says, and this is a balance, good balance, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." John MacArthur said some wise words. He said, it's wise to prepare for the future, but it's wrong to stockpile. So instead, we're to lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven, not on earth. Next, in the area of health, our health is very important to us. And so when we're ill, definitely we're troubled. If it's just a temporary thing like cold or flu, then it's, you know, it's inconvenient, we don't feel good, and we're worried about getting other people sick, but it's a temporary trouble. So we pray, and it's easier to leave that over to the Lord. But if we have something like cancer or life-threatening injury or illness, then it's much more serious, because then we're facing our own mortality in the face. And if a loved one is sick, we think about life without them. We're feeling sad and very helpless. Right now, my dad just turned 90 2 days ago, and he's kind of on a up and down, gradually down trajectory. It has to be that way. He's 90, you know. I mean, he could live 10, 12 more years, but he's close to the end of his life, and it's worrisome. But he's saved, so it's good. It's all okay in that way, but it's still, you have to grapple with it. But when my mom had cancer, you know, 15 years ago or so, then that was hard. That was hard, but the Lord brought her through it. So we realize we have to die. We feel sad. It's depressing. We feel helpless. And those are all normal reactions, because we were created to live. We weren't created to die. Death came when sin came in the world. So we desperately want to live and not suffer. Even Jesus himself, he was troubled in Gethsemane when he knew the suffering that he was about to go through. And his, of course, was much deeper. It was physical and spiritual to a deep, deep degree that we will never understand. Even caused him to sweat great drops of blood. So, but he went through this, so he understands what we go through. So we can go to him, and that's so comforting and so reassuring. We can pour our sorrows out to our Heavenly Father, just as Jesus himself did. Like, Lord, I don't want to go through this, but it's your will, so let your will be done. There's a beautiful verse in Psalm 50, verse 15, that says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me." So whatever our trouble is, we take action. If we have health troubles, we use the medical means that are available. We might adopt a healthier lifestyle, and we pray, and we do everything we can, and then we pray, and then we release it to God. And we trust him to take care of us. So we can find comfort in the words of Jesus when he spoke to the ruler of the synagogue whose daughter had died. He said to him, "Fear not, believe only." So Jesus comforts us. There's many words in the Bible, many times when he said, "Fear not." But you might say, well, he can say that to that ruler of the synagogue, but Jesus doesn't do miracles today. He doesn't raise people from the dead. He doesn't heal them instantly. And yes, that's true. But he does have promises for us that we can pray back to him. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And he assures us, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. So we can rest in that. Last group of worries I'd like to address is emotional and mental and spiritual worries and anxieties. So there's many, many types. Maybe someone's lonely because they're single. Maybe they've got some bitterness that they haven't been able to resolve. Anger, maybe guilt, unreasonable fears. Maybe someone was abused in the past and has sort of like PTSD from that. Spiritual worries, lots of different possibilities. These conditions that might envelop our whole life, like anxiety disorder or depression, we all have different things we're going through. But the solution is still the same: prayer, action, release. I heard a guy talking on the radio just yesterday. He had been through a whole bunch of tours of war in the Middle East, and he came through and seen lots of combat, and he came through with very, very serious PTSD. He was like very angry. He lost his family, and you know, he tried all kinds of different solutions, but the only thing that finally gave him a relief was that he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that was a dramatic change in his life. But even believers can have issues and struggles. So, but God is compassionate. I used to work as a nurse in a psychiatric hospital. So I from the people that I worked with, I just know it's not an easy fix. It often takes a long, long time for people to find solution. The mind, I think, heals slower than the body does. But God is strong, He's loving, He's compassionate, and we can go to Him for help. Jesus said some beautiful words as He concluded His public ministry, where He told His disciples in John 12, verse 27, He said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." So Jesus Himself knew what it was like, that He dreaded what was coming, but He knew He had to complete His purpose and His calling. So remember what Jesus went through in the agony of His soul in the garden. He's been in this dark place before you, and that's our hope. We can always pray. He understands. And when you pray your troubles away and they sneak up again behind you, just pray again, pray again. What action can you take? You can talk to a pastor or a godly family member, a friend or counselor. Ask if your trouble is worth the anxiety that it causes. If it's not, then ask for God's help to just leave it be, to leave it behind. If maybe for some people, sin is the cause of your anxiety. Maybe I'm thinking of like abuse of alcohol or something. Repent and ask for God's help to turn away from that sin. The psalmist David often talked to himself, as sort of talked to his own soul, and he does that in Psalm 43, verse 5. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, for who is the health of my countenance and my God." I'm home alone, and I call out to God, and sometimes I talk to myself. I find it therapeutic, so I think it's good to talk to yourself. It's not a sign of that you're getting old and senile. But don't do it when other people are around or they think you are senile. So I also have these are little things that are kind of practical helps that I think are very beneficial for anxiety. And one of them is exercise. Exercise is like medicine. It releases endorphins in your body that help you feel better physically and emotionally, even if it's just walking or something light. Eating properly helps. If you eat junk food, you're more likely to feel lousy, and it makes you sad. Working and doing useful activities gives you a feeling of worthwhileness and can give less anxiety. if you're feeling bad and feeling sorry for yourself, help someone else who is in a worse situation, and you'll feel pretty good about your own situation. And you share by bearing other people's burdens, you actually decrease the load of your own burdens and will be blessed in helping them. If it is something medical, maybe get or even emotional, get a medical checkup to rule out some physical causes for that. You may need some medication under the direction of a medical professional. But please don't self-medicate with drugs or alcohol. That will only hurt you more. But do medicate yourself with the Word of God, because there's no danger of overdose in there, only peace and safety. So release your troubles to the Almighty God. John 14, verse 1, Jesus comforts us. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." And in Psalm 55, 22, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain you, and he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." So in conclusion, I just want to assure you that your troubles are real, a real part of life, and we shouldn't ignore them, but we have to deal with them. But if we're a believer, then we have the best and only way to deal with them. So be encouraged. And I'd like to leave you with a couple parting thoughts. Remember Paul, who said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to the Lord." I think it's so interesting that the word thanksgiving is in there. So he's telling us to count our blessings. So when we're humble and thankful to God, we see the good things that God gives us in our lives, and we thank him for it. We know we don't deserve these gifts because we're sinners, but the brightness of his blessings causes our troubles to dim. Another practical thought, music. I think music is a way of lifting up the soul, and the song "What a Friend We Have in Jesus" is a beautiful, beautiful song that just tells us to take all our cares to him. Another thought to help is take our trials are temporary. If we look to eternity, this life is short, eternity is long, and he's preparing a mansion for us and a life forever with him. So we can endure, God helping us. Finally, remember that Jesus Christ is a compassionate Savior. So whatever our trouble is, he encourages us. Peter encourages us to be casting all our cares upon him, for he cares for you. And I'd like to leave you with the words that Jesus left his disciples with before he went to the cross. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So I'll close with prayer. Dear Lord, we thank thee that thou hast so many words in Scripture that help us to bring our anxieties to thee. And we pray that each one of us, when we have troubles and trials and worries and anxieties, that we might first of all pray, and then that we might do what we can to help our situation, and then leave it with thee. Oh Lord, help us to do this, and help us to walk hand in hand with thee through life. Forgive our sins, we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. It's just a minute or two after 9. Are there any quick questions?
I have a question.
Sure. I actually have not thought of that. So are you saying that someone who is not tend to have anxiety, that they might have other sins? Is that what you're saying? Or? It's possible. I honestly have not thought about that. What do you think?
I think in my own mind that that's true. If I'm anxious, I'm automatically less patient.
Okay, that makes sense.
Or if I'm anxious, I am less joyful. Because I'm focused on what this anxious thing is in my life.
And you're not content?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
does make a lot of sense. I think when we're, you know, maybe not quite grounded with our heart and mind and the word, then these other weaknesses come into our lives too. So I do think you've got something there.
Thank you.
So thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Thank you for
hearing
my question.
Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. I thought she was going to the piano, but she's not there. So, okay, I think we're done then. Thank you very, very much for coming. Good night.
Thank you.